Red button.
I got it.
And red buttons are go.
Red buttons are go. Wow. I forgot. That's right. Red buttons.
like red buttons, the Thunderbirds are go. Do you guys
I remember Red Buttons.
Do you remember Red Button? Do you remember his brief appearance on the Thunderbirds?
No. You mean the puppet show?
Yeah. Remember the really famous line, "Red Buttons or Go," when he was plane number 6, I think.
Are you joking around?
I'm just mincing weird.
I see. You're making humor.
Wow. But you know what I forgot to do? I forgot to include the joke. Oh man.
you just got sky mauled.
Oh man, I
totally sky mauled.
I Marmaduked it up. Oh well.
Hey, it's been so long, Scott. Do you think you can still do that really smooth intro?
Oh, I ripped it off from a CNET podcast, so yeah, I can do it real easy. I just copy them.
Okay.
Welcome to Webcomics Weekly, the podcast of oh crap! Wait.
The podcast of indeterminate length. I remember that.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Webcomics Weekly, the artistic podcast of indeterminate length, where we discuss the craft, the business, the joy of making comics and posting them on the web. I am one of your hosts, Scott Kurtz. You might know me from a little ditty I do called PvP. What? With me to the left is my buddy on the west coast.
The westest of the coast.
Man, what's wrong with me tonight? Dave Kellett.
Hello, you might know me from SheldonComics.com and also starting this week, ChainsawSuit.com and Starslip.com.
Interesting, interesting.
I'm taking over for our internetless friend.
That might be a good idea. And on the right coast, over in chilly Philly, I would assume it's cold.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
It's our good friend Brad Geiger.
Hi, and you may know me from my many comics trips, Star Slip Crisis, Chainsaw Suit, and Evil Incorporated at evil-comic.com.
What is the temperature going to be like next week? What about there?
You know what? They're calling for a lot of rain in the forecast, like drizzly kind of rain, 40s and 50s. It doesn't look great in terms of driving weather, but I figure we'll make the best of it.
Not excited. Rain.
I want it to be cold. I like the cold. I want to hang out in the cold as long as I can.
Well, then you might be happy because it's definitely not going to be hot, and it's not going to be cold. It's just going to be like chilly.
Yeah, it says here on Thursday it'll be 51 degrees, have a high.
Yeah.
Well, hey, before we get too far into that conversation, well, you should mention why and what and to where and from hence you are going.
What do you mean? There's people listening to this.
Yeah, it looks like coming up this – well, I guess we can officially say it, right, since this is the next week. Coming up this weekend is the New England Webcomics Weekend, which we probably shouldn't even be talking about because unless you pre-registered, you cannot come out.
Oh, that's right.
Well, apparently you can if you're on the wait list for Sunday. You know what? No, let's just leave it at that. You cannot come out.
I have no idea.
Did anybody expect
We are not responsible for this, so we should not. Everybody, come on out! Come on, bring your friends, bring the family. No.
Did anybody expect this to be?
It's one of those things. It's one of those things where. Nope. What's that, Brad?
Did anybody expect this to be as gangbusters as it was? I mean, this is kind of a surprise hit, isn't it?
I'm kind of pretending it's not gangbusters. You know, like it kind of started off as a. Hey, well, why doesn't everybody in webcomics kind of get together for fun? To maybe we should have one day where we can interact with the fans. To now it's like Friday night we're interacting with fans, Saturday we're interacting with fans, and Sunday we're interacting with fans. But if you notice in the email lists, I'm not talking. You're not seeing me respond because that way this weekend I can be like, I never committed to spending any time with the fans.
And this is a great time for me to introduce my new sketch comedy character, Scott Antisocial Kurtz, who'll be appearing on stage next week in Los Angeles.
He'll be appearing.
No, antisocial. Wrong. I'll be very social with my buddies.
Well, no,
I'm going to be drinking it up and hamming it up, but Just not so much the fans.
And that's going to be kind of the cool thing is that this is all four half pixel guys are all getting together, and we don't get a chance to do that so much. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, no, I really am looking forward to it. You know, it's exciting because when you can put something together over email, something very spur of the moment, and you just happen to mention it, and then you immediately fill up a building, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool.
I think that if next year, if we were to actually, or the people in charge, because I ain't doing it, but if somebody were to, if the people decided, let's do this again next year, but let's plan it a whole year, I mean, I think we'd have a pretty, pretty incredible turnout.
Mm-hmm. Well, based on the reaction on this, man, I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to plan this out. You know, we always talked about it before. Why isn't there a webcomics convention? And we all kind of said, well, there's not really a need. But, man, the turnout for this, maybe there is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I really think that we're going to – it'll be interesting to listen to the podcasts that we do a week from now when we can actually – talk about what happened. Cause I'm very excited to find out what happened. It's kind of odd to be on the podcast and not be able to say, come on out, come join us, come make it great, because I really don't know if we can.
And you know what? I'm realizing,
aren't we doing a pub crawl though?
Yeah. But you know what? One reason why we should back up a little bit on this. One of the reasons why we can't say that come on out, have fun, super giggle times, is because it was short planned in terms of, hey, it started out smaller and got bigger. There is a limited amount of space that's available in this building, so I guess the fire marshal has closed it off. So that's
We don't want anyone to be harmed.
And also we don't want anybody to drive out to what is apparently a remote location in Massachusetts and be turned away.
Although, maybe we shouldn't drive out to a remote location in Massachusetts. This would be scary for us.
You know what? You know what though? I shouldn't say that it's a remote location. I didn't realize there are five colleges right around there. Someone was telling
me
this week.
Big mega college area, yeah.
And you know what makes me mad about that, Brad? Why didn't we schedule a talk while you were out there?
That's a good question.
Probably because there's just not enough time.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, if you think about it, I mean, there's really barely enough time because we're driving back on Sunday, so we're not even staying the full, right?
That's right. Yeah,
that's right.
We got to get back on. Yeah, you know, we can stay, you know, to a certain extent, but we got to be back here in Philly at some point on Sunday night because Monday starts pretty early.
So we got a half-pixel road trip coming from Philly up to Northampton, Massachusetts. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah, Scott.
That is going to be fun. How does that work where we pick you up though, Dave? Well, maybe we shouldn't go into the details on that because we're going to have people.
There's some guy. You know what?
Maybe we should just wait
till
after the show to discuss that. But yeah, so it's gonna be. I gotta tell you, this is how old I'm getting, right? I think this last weekend when I went to Staple, my brother and Chris and I drove down to Staple, and it's like, you know, you're getting old when it's like road trip, yeah, road trip, and then like before you even get in the car, you're like road trip. I don't know, man. Road trip. Then you're in the car, and then you're driving, and you're like, road trip. And then, like, 30 minutes into the drive, you're like, oh, road trip.
And you just you get out your little jug of water and start pouring your Metamucil in. Oh, road trip.
We had a good time, but, like, I was ready to come home Friday night. But I got to tell you what. That's also because I was in the car with my brother and Chris, but I think I'll have a much better time with you guys.
I am so looking forward to it.
I know, but Brad, are you not looking forward to the road trip up more than the actual event? Like, not that I'm not excited about the event, because I'm pumped about it, but like, I'm excited about the road trip.
Well, before about 5 seconds ago, yeah.
Oh, no, we'll have a good time, my man. I've already made some playlists on my iPods.
Oh, cool. Cool. Yeah.
And it's all just podcasts. It's just us. It's us listening to us on the drive up to Massachusetts.
Guys, it's all 50 episodes of Webcomics Weekly. Here we go. Click. Nobody talk.
Don't laugh. Don't you laugh at yourself. Don't you laugh at yourself, Brad Geiger. Anyway.
But anyway.
But we are
so, yeah,
be,
that
But Scotty, you were saying before about that we're going to talk about it on the next podcast. I think you forget we're going to be recording a live podcast in front of a audience.
That is exciting.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't have said that though, because that's going to make people want to come out, and they can't because it's closed.
Well, you know what? You know what? People have to learn that you can't get everything you want in life.
Look, listen, man. Here's the bottom line. Fun stuff's going on. You listening right now to the podcast? Yes, you. You can't join us.
Well, we're going to be Twittering
but
about it.
But wish you
it
were
and,
there.
And
no,
posting
I'm just.
Pictures and stuff.
It's going to be awesome. We are going to broadcast live. We're bringing the. Well, we're going to record it live. We're not going to broadcast live. Or maybe
no.
We can.
No. Let's just do it because it's going to be enough. It's going to be buggy enough in terms of getting our equipment to broadcast to a room and to record at the same time.
Yeah, probably.
We're going to be.
But you know. With Ustreams and webcams, probably someone in the audience could point a laptop at us and probably broadcast live from there. Heck, people can do it from their cell phones these days. But yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. We're bringing the mixer and the mics, and we're gonna record next week's Webcomics Weekly at the New England Webcomics Weekend.
The podcast equivalent of two turntables and a microphone.
And the really cool news, I did not think I could get the shirts made in time, but I talked to Jeffrey at Topatico, which is where we're actually having this event, and he is going to make up a quick batch for me of my I'm Killing Newspapers by Reading Webcomics t-shirts.
Those are going to be great.
So I'm very excited. I'll have those there for everybody. Yup. Can't wait.
It is going to be interesting to see cartoonists who I associate as very different kind of webcomics all in the same room together, too. I think that's going to be a little bit fascinating, just from a people study perspective.
Seriously. I think everybody will click up at first. It'll be like a dance. You know, it'll be like a junior high dance.
No, you know what it is? It's a junior high dance, like where normally all the guys are on one side and all the girls are on one side. But in this case, it's all the story people on one side and all the gag-a-days on another.
Yeah, like the half pixel guys will be in a corner making fun of everybody, and like the umbrella guys will be over on one side smoking pot, and then there'll be the older cartoonists like Brad will just be walking around. You kids don't touch each other. Come on, split up. No clothes dancing.
Make room for the Holy Spirit. Come on now.
Make room for the Holy Spirit. Oh, man. I'm really looking forward to it.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm planning on laughing. I don't know about you. I'm planning on having fun. I'm planning on giggling.
Well, I'm really excited because when we hooked up with Rosenberg and Meredith and the guys, some of the guys from Dumbrella and in New York, John Rosenberg taught me quite a bit about the single malt scotch. Mm. Oh, yes. He made some great recommendations. So he's my bar buddy because I took a sip. He was like, no, you don't want to drink that Johnny Walker Blue Label crap. Here's what you want. And I don't remember what the hell it was called. But he's like, now take a sip and hold it in your mouth and breathe some air in over it. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is not even burn. He goes, oh, no, single malt scotch is God's beverage. And I'm like, you're my best friend, man. You're going to teach me.
You're like, John, where did you get this from? And it's a little flask he had inside his jacket. He's like, I make it in the back of my toilet. It's fantastic.
I call it goat hooch.
it's called goats, the hooch for you.
But I'm looking forward to it.
No, John does have a – well, anyway, keep going.
Well, no, that's it. That's it.
But so anyway, so it's for those of you coming, it's going to be a good weekend. And hopefully someone was mentioning the first weekend of Comic-Con, I guess in the 70s, only had 300 attendees, which made me chuckle. I thought that was a funny
Seriously?
Comparison. Yeah. Wow. So not in any way to say that this is going to become Comic-Con, because I don't even think we want anything like that. But I think it would be fun to look back 15 years ago and if this thing's still going, to say you were at the first one, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was it you were saying, David, about this? I won't say it for you.
I honestly don't know what you're talking about. What was I saying? Start the sentence and I'll finish it.
That you think that this webcomics weekend will be what the National Cartoon Society
No, I wouldn't be surprised if there's conversations that start along those lines for something like that. But I don't, like I've said before, though, I don't know that I'm interested necessarily. I'm honestly waiting for National Cartoonist Society to sort of change gears in about 5 years or so, and then I'll be interested.
Well, I just think it was, I think it is pretty accurate that you're looking at the future members of the, like, National Cartoonist Society, you know, 2025 or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about the comment that I made where you're like, we need a National Cartoonist Society for webcomic, and I said, yeah, it's called National Cartoonist Society in 5 years. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Wait, listen, Dave, I don't remember what the hell it was you said. It was something along the lines of that when we go to Webcomics Weekly, we look around and we will see what the future of the National Cartoonist Society is.
Yeah. That's true. Yes, yeah. I did say, Okay, all right. Captain
Memory.
So glad
that we could get that out.
My God, that was worth the 10 minutes of extra
that
took my memory to
that
get.
Was.
That was nice.
Well, hey, you know, got any emails? Let's talk about a subject.
Brad, in the meantime, has finished whittling a duck while we got to that point.
Well, you know, he's
putting the final polish on the mallard, and he's like, "All right, you guys done with that yet? All right, let's keep going."
Well, you know, it is.
Hey, speaking. Oh, go ahead, Brad. Go ahead.
Keep rocking back and forth. I remember a time when we used to talk about webcomics.
Ah, those were the days. We used to answer emails that people would send in. Not anymore. Now we just talk about what we talked about before. Oh, yeah.
He's talking to you like a bloodhound dog. More like webcomics rambling. Am I right, Skeeter?
Oh, my God. I have to diverge for a rat hole for a second here. So Malky and I are flying back from Small Press Expo, I think 2 years ago. And David Malky does Wondermark. And we our flight lands in, I think it was the Kansas City airport, right? And we're in a 777 or a 757, like not the biggest one, but pretty big. And we land at the Kansas airport, and I kid you not, you look down both the runway and down like 20 gates, and there was no plane there, right? No plane at all at the airport. And Malky and I, who were normally flying out of LAX, we look down the runway, and we're like, what the heck is going on? And so we started joking around about this guy who's the only guy that runs the Kansas airport. And he's like, oh, sure, need some gas, do ya? Going on to California? Sure, all right. Hold on here, just gonna fill up your jet here. Oh, I noticed you got a little pole punctured in your luggage. Let me just sew that up. Mother, come over here. Some boys heading on to California. I'm gonna need to put up here. They got
don't
a hole
ask,
from
don't
New York.
Ask, don't ask me what I'm doing out here in Kansas, so far away from Maine, but that's what I'm doing.
I know. That's true. It is a New England accent, isn't it? Well, Malky would probably do it better. But anyway, we had a run that went for like 3 hours of the flight. Eventually, he's like, mind if I come on that plane, big plane to Los Angeles with you? And then we land at LAX, and he just looks out the window at the lights and goes, oh, too big for me, heading back to Kansas. All right, sure. See you later then. All right, bye-bye. Just heads
oh, my God.
Doesn't even get on the flight. All right, that's my rat hole for the week. I don't even know why I did that.
Well, you know, you know what? I've tried to make this transition work three times, and I'm just going to bowl through it now. You know, it is interesting to look into the past like that and see things that happened a while ago. You know, Scott, you were just looking into the past.
Brad, that reminds me of the story.
Mr. Carter, oh.
Oh, I quit.
That reminds me of a story about looking into my past.
do you think maybe it does?
Brad,
yeah.
That is amazing that you would bring that up because I recently looked into my past. Artistically.
Is that right?
Yeah, no, my brother and I just finished putting together a 600-page book. That we are going to be calling the PvP Awesomeology. You might have heard of it when I solicited it two or three times in the last 2 years and never came out with it. But basically, it's really funny because I was instant messaging Koo yesterday, and he asked me what I was working on. I said, my brother and I just put the Awesomeology to bed. And he said, how many pages is that? I said, 600. And he said, two people have no business putting a 600-page book together. we're putting a 250-page book, and I have creative coming in from 15 people. And I said, yeah, well, then hire me some people, because it's just me and my bro, and we have 2,500 strips and 600 pages to fill. But one of the things that we did with this Awesomeology hardcover is we realized that we had 35 pages at the end of it that were empty. We went from 1998 all the way to 2005, and we would need many more pages to do another year. And we didn't want to cut the book off mid-year. So we decided, you know, 2005 is kind of the halfway mark of the, well, I guess it's not really. But anyway, 2000's halfway mark, Jesus, because it's a 5, right? And that's half of 10. That was my brain doing math. But anyway, the point was we had 35 pages to fill. And so I decided, you know what? Why don't we just do this? Why don't we just do a section of the book pre-PvP, you know? Because there were two or three comics that I posted to the web before PvP, so it's still kind of my web career. Mm-hmm. And I have all that artwork. So I went home and I dug through my closet, and I pulled out artwork from the comics I was working on 1 or 2 years previous to PvP. So these were comics that I did post to the web and back in 1996 and 1997. And it was such a strange experience, because each one of these comic strips was almost a very odd artistic mnemonic, okay? Because it's not like I would look at the strip and remember what I was doing at that time in my life, like, oh, yeah, this is when we were in the apartment, and I remember drawing this, and it was a beautiful day, and Angie had all the doors open, and we took a nap later. No. It's all these horrible things like, oh, yeah, I remember when I used to draw that way. You know, all these weird artistic, like what I was like artistically in 1996. Mm-hmm. So, and it was essentially like looking at old yearbook pictures of what a failure you were back in high school. You know, like, oh God, why I was such a nerd, a hopeless idiot. But let me paint you a little picture, okay? And it made me think. So I've been talking to Brad about this, probably Dave, I probably bugged you about it too, but I've been reading this book. My brother recommended it to me. It's called Outliers. It's by a guy named Malcolm Gladwell. Mm-hmm. And Dave, he wrote The Tipping Point.
Right.
And he also wrote a book called Blink, which, have you read that yet, David?
No, I have read Blink, yeah. And I've read
that. Okay.
Blink,
but, yeah, I know. So The Tipping Point was about what causes people to essentially convert over, right? Like, What causes the person to go from maybe I'll buy something to really buying something, you know, or converting over to be committed to your brand? And then Blink was about what was Blink about? How we make a decision in a quick moment. Like it's not the planning, but
it was also about how like even if you tell yourself that it took you 2 weeks to come up with the decision, you actually made the decision in the first few seconds.
Right. The great thing about Blink is it reminds me of a conversation we used to have, my dad and I used to have, about Data on Star Trek and why Data would never work. It's because, or we used to debate that Data had emotions but didn't know it, because if you were pure logic, you would eventually come up across a problem that pure logic couldn't solve, and you need to be human and have an emotion to give you a hunch to just choose one.
Mm-hmm. Right, because you know, there's not enough data. There's not enough.
There's not enough data. You would just freeze. You would just say, well, logically, I'm at a stalemate. You know, both choices here are equally risky or equally good, so I'll just sit here and never choose. You know, you need this human thing to. That's kind of what Blink was about. But Outliers, what I really liked about Outliers is it's an examination of success. It's an examination of what makes people successful and how we really need to rethink how we look at what makes people successful. Because right now, our opinion is the brightest and the strongest and the smartest and the people that work the hardest are the ones who succeed. And what Outliers is really saying is it's more about the people who practice as opposed to work hard. You know, it's the people that know specifically and focus specifically on accomplishing a task or getting better at one thing and practice that and get the opportunity to practice it for a long time. And those are the people that then find success because they have improved. Whereas if you just work and work and work and work and work, that work can be very counterproductive. But focused practice will always be beneficial because you can't do anything but improve. And so I'm looking at this old artwork, and I'm pulling out this one comic strip called Wedlock about a married couple. I had just gotten married, so I was making a comic strip about newlyweds. This was going to be a syndicate package. I had to do 25 strips and here, and then send it off to syndicates and see if they wanted it. 25 strips. I mean, now 25 strips seems like no big deal. You know, do that. Yeah, it's just, I mean, cakewalk, right? 25 strips. I mean, you'll have that done in a month.
Yeah.
Never once sent off a syndicate package. I sent one off in junior high, but when I was seriously trying, I never one off. I never finished them. So I'm going through this old artwork, and I come across a gag where the young couple was talking about dating. And, you know, it was a trite joke about being on diet. Then I find another strip about auto repair, and then I find the strip of the diet again. I drew it a second time. It's almost identical. And then I find a gag about shopping mall, and then I find the strip about the diet a third time. And I'm like, what the hell? Why did I draw this three times? But there were four or five gags where I thought I had all this artwork, and it turns out I don't, because that is just me starting over. So I'm laying it all out, and I'm piecing it together like Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind. You know, I've just got them all spread out, and I'm re-pieced together, and I can see artistically what I did. It's like I drew this strip, and this strip, and the strip about the diet, and then I drew the next strip and figured out I like drawing his hair a different way, so I went back and started over from the beginning. With the hair now the different way. Then I get two strips ahead, and I decide I'm going to draw them all in winter clothes because I just did a Christmas strip, and so the syndicates might say, well, why is there a Christmas strip in here? Is it winter time? So I go back and I start it over and drew all the strips again with them in winter clothes.
Wow.
And it's like, no wonder I never got anything done. No wonder I never finished. And then PvP comes along. And you have all this artwork from 96 and 97. And my artwork is very developed. And then you get to PvP and it's like I hired a palsy kid to draw it. You know, it's like Brian's like, why did your artwork change? I mean, you just went to this kind of crapping it out style for PvP. And I said, yeah, I know, because this was a paid gig. It was, hey, we saw your comics. We have this website about video games. Do you have any comics? We'd like to pay you for your content. And then I said, well, I don't want to sell my comic to you. And they're like, oh, no, we don't want the rights to your comics. We would just license the right. We'd pay you to run it on our website. We're just looking for content. Do you have anything? And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, I can do that. And so I had to do five strips a week or I didn't get paid. And so I didn't care about making it perfect. I just cared about getting it done. And that's the only way I made any progress, was suddenly now I had to practice at the right thing, which is getting the strip done every day, moving on, not looking back, not trying to make it perfect, mm-hmm. just moving forward and just developing it. You know, and instead of practicing at making a panel perfect and taking 6 months if I needed to and making the perfect 25 strips, which I never accomplished, I was practicing getting a gag out, dealing with a deadline, getting strips done fast, even though I didn't have the time, making it look good even though I was under pressure. And I was forced to practice that, and that's when things took off for me. Well, and it was just really weird because I'm examining this and I just read this book and it just clicked for me that this Gladwell guy might be right, you know, because here it is laid out in front of me in my own life.
Well, now, Scott.
Anyway, that's the story about my past.
Scott, when I first met you, you were doing a lot of work in your strip that you were using, and I think you probably talked about it on one of the very early podcasts. You were talking about using templates to do your drawing. Were you doing that? At what point did the templates come into the picture?
The templates were there. Well, okay, so I think like the first year of PvP, I was doing it and I didn't care. Like, you have to understand that almost the first year of PvP, this was just the web was didn't seem real. I mean, it never occurred to me that anyone would ever make any money off the web. There was no business model. There was no way to do anything with it. It was, you know, the dot-com boom hadn't happened. Nobody was making money yet. Okay. And so the cartoonists that I had encountered on the web in 96 and 97 were magazine gag cartoonists who were using their personal websites as kind of online portfolios. So they could say, you know, hey, Playboy, or McCall's or whatever magazine, here are all my strips. There was a cartoonist named Ted Goff, and he had all of his strips, all of his gag cartoons that were available for sale online. They could just come and pick what ones they wanted. And so when I first started posting comic strips to my website, it was because there was a hub of all these cartoonists called Cartoonists at Large, and you could make a post and they could all read it. And I could say, hey, guys, take a look at my comic strip, and I could have all these cartoonists give me feedback. Mm-hmm. It was like the only reason I posted cartoons to the web at all was to interact with other professionals. It never occurred to me that this would be where stuff went, you know, like I was making it for the web.
Right.
So when the PvP gig came along, it was like, wow, I can be a paid cartoonist, but I didn't show anybody. Like, I didn't want anybody to know I was drawing that because that wasn't my baby. That wasn't the idea that I wanted to succeed. This is just, I just wanted to get them, I just wanted to get paid. I just wanted to not pass up the opportunity to do it. And so it wasn't until a year had passed that I started to really care about being PvP because I was going to quit. And I said to Angie, my wife, I said, well, I'm going to quit PvP. It's taking up too much of my time. I want to focus on making good comics and comics that I like. And she said, please don't do that because you don't make any progress. You know, you just sit at your drafting table and you never finish anything. But PvP, you have a readership. Like you have, I think at the time I had like 700 people reading it was what that website was telling me. She's like, look, you have an audience. You have people that are interested. You have something good here. And I'm like, no, baby, you don't understand. This is crap. I just threw this together because he was paying me. I don't care about it. I didn't work really hard at it. I didn't put any thought into the characters. And she's like, yeah, but people like them. Maybe that's why it's working, because you're not overthinking it. You need to keep going with this
right.
and turn this into something good. And she's like, please don't quit this, because if you do, you'll never be a cartoonist. You'll just sit at your drafting table and never finish anything again.
Wow.
And so I put it on hiatus for a week and decided I had to focus on it. And that's when the template came in. And what the template was is I sat down and I drew all the characters, like on a piece of paper, like from the front and the side, you know, front quarters view, three quarters view for each one. And I think with Skull, I had three faces, like his mouth closed, his mouth open. And then when I would draw the strip, I would take my Bristol board and I would take a light board and I would put the Bristol, I just have the template, that one piece of paper with all the characters taped to the light board at all times. And so I would just put the Bristol on, and if I needed to draw Cole, I'd move the panel so that Cole was where I wanted him, and then I would draw Cole on top of the template.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like there was a picture of him underneath that I could trace
yeah.
or draw on top of, because I wanted my characters to stay consistent. You know, like I wanted them always to be the same height in relation to each other. And so everybody took that the wrong way as that I had them on a computer file somewhere and I just copied and pasted them in like color forms. But I didn't. I traced over a picture of them. And that was a template, yeah. But, you know, that was the only way I knew how to get stuff done. And it wasn't because I wasn't good enough to draw it all, but I couldn't get past the mental block of, this looks awful, I need to start over.
Right, right.
You know?
It's so funny to hear you tell the story, and I want to hear Brad's, because we didn't meet until, God, I don't know, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, whatever. But it's funny how in the late 90s, I had almost an identical attitude towards you. And I was telling you and Brad before the show that so this last week I put up this request to readers to help me go back through Usenet and through archive.org and all this stuff, because I wanted to find out when I first put Sheldon up online, because I don't know why. I got to bug up my butt to find out when it first went up. And only by doing this did I realize, and it's the exact same thing that you just said, Scott, I had relaunched Sheldon three times with the same maybe 30 to 40 strips over the course of 2 years online. And only by going back and looking at it through different servers and hosts on archive.org did I remember that.
And it was the same thing. I kept overthinking it. Like, oh, new host or new place where it's going to be seen. You know what? I hate all this old art. I'm going to redo it all. And then I would basically retread old tracks and try to make it work better. And it's funny because looking back on it from a distance of 10 years, neither one of them is much better than the other one. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't necessarily, I mean, I'm sure I felt good about it at the time, but to anyone else's eyes, it would have been hugely wasted effort. And it probably was. But I essentially relaunched the strip 3 times for the same reasons you did. Like, when I first started Sheldon, I was living in England, and I was putting together that same 30 pack of strips to send back to syndicates, and I figured, well, I might as well put them online. And then when I finished grad school and came back to the U.S., I started a website called DaveKellett.com, and I was like, well, I'll move all the strips over, and I'm going to redo them. Because the web doesn't really matter, and I feel like redo. Because for me, like Scott, the goal was to get with the syndicate, so I figured, well, I might as well make these the better than they could be right now, you know? Mm-hmm. Not they're online and they're fine. I'll just leave them the way they are. But it was like, no, I've got to get better with these 30 that are key. I remember that attitude so much that the 30 was so important. And then again, when I moved to SheldonComics.com, and you know what? I might have relaunched this strip 4 times. When I moved it again to United Media, God, I relaunched it again. Wow. It's so funny. I did. It's so weird to look back on that now, because now I have learned a lesson now, which is that the beauty is in the journey, not so much in the – well, I don't want to say it's not in the final product. But it's what you were saying before, though, Scott, is that – you have to move on from the gag or the joke of the day or the strip of the day and go on to the next one. If you keep going back over and over and over again, you're not getting better. You're just getting better at doing that strip that you did 2 weeks ago, you know?
Well, yeah, it's like me and sketchbooks. I mean, if you come into my office here, you can at home, you can find a bajillion of these little sketchbooks, the hardcover ones, the moleskin ones, a bunch of them. And they all have 2 or 3 drawings of them, and the rest is empty. And it's because I don't know how to approach a drawing or even a sketch where it's not going to become finished.
Right.
Like, okay, so I'm going to take this blank page, and when I'm done, it'll be perfect. Or like the goal is I have a picture in my head, and I'm going to try to make this page look as close to the picture in my head as possible. And it's going to be a struggle. I'm going to wrestle it. But when it's done, it'll be good. Like, it'll be as close as I can get it. But it's never just, you know what, let's just fill this up. I don't care what comes out of my pen. I don't care how goofy it is.
Right.
You know, and that's how, you know, it's funny because we give all this advice sometimes on this podcast. And and we talk about how, you know, you really should, a good artist is always dissatisfied with his work. That's how you know you're improving. But we should probably specify, you know, you need to be dissatisfied in a productive way. Because you could be unsatisfied in a very destructive way.
Well, and
it's really funny because I'm trying to write a foreword to this book, and my brother and I put a dedication to my books in all of my books, and we were going through all the dedications on my book, and I've done my mom, my dad, my brother, my wife, blah blah blah. And he's like, "Who are you going to dedicate the Awesomeology to?" And I said, "I don't know. I don't think I want to dedicate it to anybody." And he's like, "Well, why are you making it?" And I said, "Honestly, between you and me and this podcast." he goes, "Yeah." And I go, "I want to hold it. Like, I know it's going to be a hardcover, and I know it's only half of what I've drawn, but I want to hold it. Like, I want to feel the weight of it. I want to hold it and go, yeah, I made this. Like, I could kill somebody with this book." You know, Like, it's huge. I know it's not timeless. I know it ain't Peanuts or Calvin Hobbes. But look how much I did it. I made it. And Brian said, "You got to dedicate the book to yourself." Like, on the dedication page, it needs to say, "For myself." And I'm like, yes, that is what I'm doing. I don't care if anyone gets mad. So the dedication for the Awesomeology says myself. But I thought in the foreword I would thank people. And I was thinking about these characters, the PvP characters, and how I can't stand looking at the old strips. Brian put most of the book together because I would look at the old strips and I would say, "Let's take this one out." He's like, "No, it's all going in the book." There are art errors, continuity errors, directions that I took to the characters and that I hated and just abandoned. And it's like, there's nothing perfect about this strip. It is messy and flawed and stupid, and I'm like, you know what? They're like real people. You know, these characters are just like real people. Their lives are stupid and messy, and most of it you kind of forget about, so you're not embarrassed. I mean, I felt like I was looking back at, like I said, at like a high school yearbook pictures, but it's like I owe those characters so much because that's you know, it's 10 years later that I started, and I finally feel like I'm where I wanted to, where I wish I had been 10 years ago. And it took 10 years of screwing these characters up to get to where I want to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I do know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
You needed to make every mistake you made, and because you needed to learn from that, and you needed to let those characters mature and develop, even though that was an uncomfortable, awkward process.
Yeah. Like, a lot of people are sending me emails right now about my art lately because I've been doing grayscales and stuff, but they're like, you know, your art is really... Brad, you said to me the other day.
Yeah.
You said, you know, your art's really taking a big jump. And I'm like, well, it's, you know, it's 10 years. It's been 10 years of work into here. I finally feel like I can start now.
No, but you know what? There's truth to that.
Yeah.
But I got to jump back on a couple things you said because, oh, my God, I wanted to comment on when you were talking about sketchbooks. You described me to a T now, and it's almost – this was true even when I was younger, but for some reason, now that I sell original art, it's like compounded the problem where I can't draw anything unless I know it's going to be finished, unless I know I can sell it at some point, unless I know in my mind that it wasn't wasted effort just for me, which is such a ridiculous thing because I see Chris, who I think is the most prolific with a sketchbook of all of us.
Yeah.
And I see the result of that, which is work begets work. You know what I mean? Like imperfect work begets perfect work. Whereas I'm always wanting to just do the finished, polished, you know, archival inked, yeah. on acid-free Bristol drawing. And Chris has, in the meantime, done 48 drawings while I was doing my one, you know?
So, David, I'm going to ask you a question that's going to be an embarrassing question, possibly.
Okay.
But understand that I'm only asking you because I'm guilty of it myself. Have you ever faked a sketch? Have you ever faked a preliminary sketch?
What do you mean? I'm not ducking the question. I don't know what you mean.
Okay, well, like, you know, like, sometimes you'll see, like, you'll pick up a trade paperback of a comic, you know, like, you'll pick up, I don't know, Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely's All-Star Superman, right? So this brilliant 12-issue run of this awesome comic. And then the back, they have a sketchbook, you know, like, hey, here's Frank's designs for Superman. When we got the assignment, we were deciding how we were going to make our Superman look. And there's like a ton of sketches. Like, he's like, why don't we have him like this way? And we'll make Clark Kent more of a bumbler and we'll make him bigger. You know, like, we won't have the skinny Clark. He'll actually be as big as bulky. And just all these wonderful preliminary sketches. I don't ever have those. I sit down and just start. And then if it's wrong, I rip it up and start over. I never have preliminary. So at the end of a project, if someone's like, hey, fill up some sketches, you know, at the end of the PvP book, put some sketches. I ain't got no sketches. There's no sketches. I don't do, you know, like Mike, my buddy Mike Ringo used to do warm-up sketches every morning. And he's like, hey, you know what? I go, I got to come up with some extras for this book. Do you want to do a pin-up? He's like, dude, just fill up with your warm-up sketches. And I'm like, what warm-up sketches? And Mike says, you know, the things you do every morning. And I go, shut up, dude, whatever.
I know, people say warm-up sketches, and I'm like, oh, you mean my finished drawing that I've been doing while you were doing
yeah.
the warm-up sketch.
But like, okay, so when the people at NCSoft asked me to do a City of Heroes comic for the game, I took the strips that I had done online and gave it to them, and then they wanted a couple extra, and then I had to do the cover. And they're like, hey, we got an extra page here. Why don't you give us your sketches for the cover art? And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. And then I had to fake cover sketches, like sketch A. And then I would write, wrong, not balanced enough. And then, like, sketch cover B.
You would
sketch
actually write
B.
in the little comments.
Yeah. Yeah, like faking the process.
Can
know?
I tell you? All right, yeah. You know what? Okay, I have done this, and I'll tell you in one.
You've
context,
done that, right? You
yes. Here's the context. All right, so I do Sheldon the way I do it, and I like it, and I don't do pre-sketches. It's like it's sketched. I mean, you guys have seen the originals. I sketch on it, and then I draw it, and then I erase the pencil from it. But yeah. So a couple years back, this academic magazine hired me to do three or four strips a year for them for their issues, right? And the guy's like, the editor goes, give me pencils first, and then once I approve it, you can go ahead and proceed to inks, right? And I hate working that way. I hate having someone edit my pencil work or my pre-sketches and stuff. So what I would do is I would draw
then very quickly, I would just take tracing paper and do a sketch thing over it, scan that, email it to him, go, I need to prove it. And then I would 20 minutes later send him the final script that was already done. Because I hate sending sketches. And he would be like, all right, yeah, that's fine. All right, here, God, you're quick. You got that done fast. Well, yeah. I finished it yesterday, you know?
Yeah. I caught a cartoonist, an online cartoonist faking sketches one time. And I emailed him. I'm like, I know you faked that sketch, and I only know it because I fake them too. But I know you faked that sketch, and because you know it's like you can't BS a BSer, man. But right. God, oh man,
I'm so
it's
happy
awful.
To hear you guys say that because my sketchbooks are filled with words. I just strictly use my sketchbook to write. And I know what I'm gonna do when it comes to drawing the picture. I mean that's a very straight for me at least. That's a very straightforward.
Yeah, process. let me speak for both myself and my friend Dave here, Brad, when I give you a Laurel and Hardy F you. Because I've seen you sketch at conventions and it's like you have a magic pen that shits out the final art. Okay? Seriously. Like, I can't tell you how many times people have brought me your books, and they're like, hey, check it out. Brad, do a sketch. And I'm like, where? And I'm flipping it back, and they go, here. And I'm like, oh, I thought that was printed on there. I'm not kidding, Brad. Your stuff is that clean. And then I always do the same thing. Like, it's so funny because some people don't know we're friends, right? You know, I'm like, hey, check it out. Can you sign this? Brad did a sketch in it. And I'm like, where? Where is the sketch? And he's like, right there. And I go, this, oh. Fucking Brad. And they get real nervous, like they don't understand what I'm saying. They're like, they think I'm mad at you for something. Like, they just remembered, like, oh, bastard slept with my wife, you know. I'll never forgive him. Yeah. So I don't care what your sketchbooks are filled with, Brad, because I've seen your finished art. It's perfect.
Well,
but can I tell
that.
You what's odd about it, though? The only time I ever have a sketchbook where I feel freedom is when I'm at a con and somebody passes me Straub's sketchbook. And then when I have his sketchbook in my hand, I go to town and I'm sketching away. It's the weirdest
happen.
Psychological thing. Yeah, Brad's seen it now on like four or five cons where I pass it back and Chris is like, okay, thanks for taking up 10 pages of my sketchbook. Because I'm like, doo-dee-doo, there's a cat climbing a tree, doo-dee-doo, there's a car zooming down the road, doo-dee-doo, jet flying off an airplane. He's like, I was working on something in that sketchbook.
let me tell you this story, okay? My wife, today is my birthday, and my wife, my wife gave me my gift. My wife gave me my gift early, okay? Now, Dave, you know me because we talked about it. We're big Doctor Who fans of the new Doctor Who, the Tennant Doctor Who. Angie doesn't know anything about this sketchbook thing. I mean, I'm not because I'm hiding it from her, but I just never discussed it with her. But my terrible fear of sketchbooks, you know. It's almost like every time I buy a sketchbook, it's like, all right, sketchbook, this time I'm gonna fill you, it won't be like last time. And then it's like, nope, I drew one drawing and I can't rip it out because it's wrong, so see you later, sketchbook. So she's like, do you mind if I give you your gift early? And I'm like, yeah, you're like a week ahead, before, you know, we're a week early. She goes, I know, but I'm really excited about it, I know you're gonna love it. And I'm like, yeah, sweetheart, that's fine. I'm not 12. I don't have to have something open my birthday. Yes, I'll take it right now. And she goes, okay. And she runs out and she comes back and she gives me the gift and I open it up and it is a handmade replica of River Song's TARDIS journal from the episode The Silence in the Library. So you know what I'm talking about, David?
Yeah, I know that episode, yeah.
Yeah, so there's this great episode where the doctor meets this woman who he finds out he knows in the future, but he hasn't met her yet, and she has this journal filled of all their adventures. Like, she wrote a diary about everything they've done, and she's like, we haven't done this yet, so don't worry, we'll still get to do all this stuff. And the cover looked like it's blue with the shape of the wood on the TARDIS. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool, that TARDIS journal is cool. So Angie found someone on Etsy.com that hand makes them, and she's like, here you go, and now you can write about, you know, you can make it a sketchbook. And I'm looking at it like, no, No! Oh, no! Because, like, this is the first sketchbook, like, she's going to, every time she sees it, she's going to be like, what have you drawn? What have you drawn? And I'm like, I haven't drawn anything because I am afraid of sketchbooks.
She's going to flip it open. Oh, he's not here. Let's see what he's sketching. And it flips open. It's like a phone number for Subway and then what sandwiches they have that day. And you're like, oh, come on.
And she has no idea that she just bought me my birthday, my greatest fear. So, and she's like, what are you going to put in it? What are you going to do in it? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know.
Now, have you talked about this yet? Does she know?
Huh?
Does she know how you
feel
about this?
Yeah, she knows.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I told her, I said, look, baby, I'm so bad about sketchbooks because I draw one thing. And then I have this hang up. And she's like, just don't fill it with stuff that's for your business. Don't make it cartooning. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she goes, well, you know how sometimes when you go places, you'll draw what you see. Like sometimes I do this all the time. Like we go to a restaurant and if I have a pen on a receipt, I'll look over at the people eating next to us and I'll draw them. Cause I really like doing gesture sketches. Mm-hmm. It was my favorite thing to do in art class. And she's like, just fill it with that. Don't worry about it being cartooning. Don't worry about making it like where you put all your great ideas. Just draw what you see. And then you don't have to worry about what you're filling it with. You just draw what you see. And then I said, oh, you know what I do? What I'll do? I'll make it a travel journal, just like it was River's travel journal. And so when I go places, like when I go on trips, I'll just draw what I see, like someone at the airport, someone at the restaurant, and then I'll write down where I was. And she's like, yeah. So we go to Austin, and we come back, and she's flipping through it because it's in my bag. And she goes, you didn't draw anything? And I go, no, it's Austin. It's not a trip. It's a three-hour drive. That doesn't count. What am I going to draw in Austin? It's Texas. It's like, hey, saw things that were the same as Dallas.
It's Austin. You know? I drew a kid with a Coldplay shirt on. What do you want? Come on.
Yeah. It's my brother and Chris, the same people I see every day. No, the first trip is Webcomics weekend. I'll draw all the different webcomic people. But, you know, I'm not doing cartoon things. I'll just do gesture drawings and stuff. But I'm really excited about it because I think I could pull this off. I think I could fill a sketchbook. Well, like, it's really funny. It's because, let me ask you a question. Have you ever gone through somebody's sketchbook where they don't have this hang up and they just fill it up with whatever and you flip through it and like three pages in, you can hear like Vietnam noises and you're like, what the fuck is wrong with this person?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, yeah, it's a possessed cat, a possessed chair, and you're like, what are you doing in here?
Like,
what is wrong with you?
Yeah, especially, it was especially bad in high school when everyone was drawing heavy metal stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like you go through someone's sketchbook and it's like, it's always the, like Casey Green, we met him this weekend, and Casey is the guy that does the gun show comic. And it's really funny, but he'll draw that kind of Ren and Stimpy stuff. Like, you know when you're watching a Ren and Stimpy cartoon and it's all animated, then it cuts to a frame that's hand-painted and there's all kinds of gross detail in it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, look at my thumb, then it cuts to a painting of a festering boil on a thumb. His sketchbook is full of that stuff. It's like, fourth page, I just look at him and I go, Casey, dude, get help. Like, why? And he goes, oh, I'm just screwing around. I have no problem filling up the sketchbooks, you know. And he's like, hey, draw something in my sketchbook. And so I'm like, all right, you draw something in mine. And he drew this really cool thing that came off the top of the head, and I drew Skull, you know.
Skull, three
for
you. All right, there we go.
Here we go, straight from my template.
you're like, he's like, draw in my sketchbook. And you're like, all right, you get out a little light box, get out a little piece of paper.
No, Dave, it's even better. He's like, I go, hey, Casey, will you draw my sketchbook? He's like, I would be delighted. He pulls out a pen. He just starts drawing, you know, and he goes, here you go. It's this beautiful thing. And he goes, and now you. And I go, excellent. And I open his sketchbook, and then I pull out a little ink pad and flip the lid up, and then I pull out a stamp, and I go, rub, rub, rub. Thunk. And then I go, oh, God, Casey, I'm sorry. That is my 2008 stamp. I have a 2009. One moment. I've got a red pad and a blue pad. And then if you don't like the black.
You go back to the 2008 and you just write void over it.
Ignore. Casey, can I rip this page out of your sketch pad?
I'm afraid my accountant insists.
I'm not even happy with the stamp. my dad, I was telling my dad about that today at dinner, and he was like, you know, you've always fought that, son. You know, that's why you don't paint. And it made me remember this thing. I painted a picture of my dog for an art class, and I had to take it home because I didn't finish it in time, and I had to finish it over the break. And I've got the whole easel thing set up, and my dad would come out, and he goes, your problem is that you want every paint stroke to be perfect. And what you don't realize is that the painting is made up of a million of the wrong paint stroke. And I'm like, that's crazy talk, old man, because then all paintings would look like shit. You know, and he's like, you just don't get it. You know, you're too worried about the painting being perfect. This painting's going to stink, and the next painting's going to stink, and the painting after that's going to stink. And I'm like, well, then why am I doing this?
Can I tell you, never having met your dad, I like how you made him sound like a trucker. You just don't get it, son. Oh. The painting's going to stink. You gotta go through 10,000 bad paintings to get to the one you love. And then he just puts on Loretta Lynn. But dink, 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 dink. I'm born in a southern town. I'm going to be a southern girl. Boy, when I was growing up in Germany, we had a thing we say about paintings. You got to go through 10,000 bad paintings before you get that good one. All right, Pa, go back to Germany. All right, guessing I will.
You know, sometimes without painting, sometimes... I say, when I'm really going, I feel like I'm hitting on all 18 wheels. And then sometime, boy, the Smokies have got you right in their sights. And right now there's a bear in the air, and I've got to shift gears. But I'll be coming back, and I'm going to the Red So Fine concert. I'll be back by midnight.
The what so fine?
Red what? So Fine? Have you never heard of Red So Fine?
Red So Fine? No.
No,
wow, you went up me in obscurity.
There's a V. Red So Fine. He was this country music singer, except he talked his way through the songs. And if you ever want to really, if you're ever feeling like it's been too long since you really had a really deep cry, you listen to Red So Fine, because there are all these songs about crippled children and
oh,
and
that's awesome.
What?
And he's got that this lonesome voice. You've never heard of this? You got to Google it sometime.
No.
I don't want to stop you, Brad, but you got to say this name for me slow. Red So Fine?
S-O-V-I-N-E. Red So Fine.
R-E-D is his first name, Red, and then his last name is Fovine. F-O-V-I-N-E.
So is his music the kind of stuff that's like Christmas Shoes? Did you ever hear that song around Christmas?
Yeah, probably. It's like his famous one is Teddy Bear, and it's about this guy. I was riding down the street in my 18-wheeler, and he hears this kid saying, hey, is anybody out there? Come on back, talk to Teddy Bear. So he talks to Teddy Bear. Turns out Teddy Bear has two useless legs, and his dad is dead, and his mom has
wow.
to work two jobs to keep him, you know, keep food on the table. And he's just sitting there, and his dad was a trucker. And all he wants to do is ride in a truck, but he can't with his two useless legs. And he's lonely, and all he's got is his dad's CB.
And why do you listen to this? Why do you listen to this? Is it because you feel better than the guy with no legs?
At least I'm not Teddy Bear. That's what Brad's thinking as he's listening. He's driving. He's driving along, whistling.
Scotty, when you're making a painting, Scotty, you got to remember one thing, okay? You can either paint that painting, or you can sit here and never finish it and be like Red Fovine. All right. Icky but dick, minus shotsy.
Well, you know what's even better? Scott, he's talking like that. He's like, all right, Scott, what you got to learn is that a painting, and then he just coughs. What you've got to learn is that a painting. Yeah.
He turns into Professor McDuck.
Yeah, he goes, do you understand what I'm trying to say? And I go, no. And he goes, well, screw all the American accent then.
Look, I tried to speak in your language, but I'm going back to the mother tongue.
Saying the next, but I didn't try.
Shiza, what does it take with you, son? What does it take with you?
Hey, listen, I heard Shiza a lot growing up. You know what was really awesome about my dad is he speaks perfect English, fluent English, and he really doesn't have much of an accent. But in his head, I asked him, when you think, do you think in English or do you think in German? And he says, English. You know, I mean, I'm an American. I've been here since I was 13. And I'm like, okay. I was just curious. And he goes, no, I think in English. But he can't do numbers in English. His numbers are German. So he would help me with math when I was a kid. Like, I had a real hard time with long division. And he would always start talking to me, and halfway through it, I'd be, Papa. Because he'd switch to German and not realize it. He's like, look, Scotty, it's really simple. Two goes into four once, and then size and zwanzig and dreizehn and vierzig, and I'm like, Papa! But the funniest story about my dad that has nothing to do with webcomics is he got pulled over one time in Washington, D.C. on a business trip, okay? And he was not paying attention to the road, but the cop pulls him over and says, I want to give you a sobriety test. And my dad says, I haven't been drinking, officer. And he goes, well, then that's no problem. We'll do a sobriety test. I'm like, yeah. And my dad said, absolutely, whatever you need me to do. So the guy has him do the walk and the thing with the arms. And he goes, all right, I want you to say the alphabet backwards. And my dad said, oh, no. And the cop says, what? And he goes, look, I'm an immigrant. I'm German. And just like numbers, if I do the alphabet, I can't do it fast in English, but I can do it right in German. And the cop goes, okay, do it in German. And my dad goes, Abe, say, day. And he does the alphabet, and he gets down to, you know, Z, and then he goes backwards real fast. And the cop goes, that sounded right. What happened?
Did we all lose each other?
I don't know.
The last thing I said was, and that's why I like webcomics, because the Germans invented webcomics, and there was nothing, and I went, no, guys? There's nothing. I go, guy, I'm all?
Well, let's all hit record again. Uno, dos, y tres. Boink, recording.
What was the last thing that we said?
Well, what I was going to say was just the funny part would be that the cop, he does the whole alphabet in German. He just goes, that's mighty pretty German you got on yourself there, boy. All right, back you go. Get on the road. Drive safe now.
Nope. You mixed up the A-Bay-Day with the say-Day. You know, like the Germans, cop knows German. No, I'm German.
Listen, if you were going to spell Strasse, how would you do it? Would you use the S or would you use that funny B-looking S? All right.
The cop's like, well, you think you're pretty slick, don't you, German? Well, what you don't know is that I've got a canine unit, and my dog's a German Shepherd. The dog comes out and just goes, nope.
All right, so before we get further along in the podcast, let's do a couple things, because we're getting late. We're getting late in the show.
We're almost getting to the point where we're going to have to wrap it up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I got to get some stuff done. So the couple things I want to talk about.
Okay.
Emerald City Comic Con coming up on the first weekend of April, April 4th and 5th, or 5th and 6th?
4th and 5th. April 4th and 5th.
So throw that on your schedule if you're in Seattle or Portland or one of the Northwest cities. New England Webcomics weekend. If you're coming, be prepared for awesomeness. If you're not coming, it's unfortunately too late to sign up. Webcomics.com is back online, and we're, as always, soliciting for interesting and insightful articles. We're still working on getting the forums back up, but the webcomics.com is up. And as
like
always,
submit...
with the podcast...
Hey, oh, go let ahead, me Brad. Just throw go this ahead. In no, real no. quick. I hate to... You're on such a roll. If you want to submit to webcomics.com, the submit button is not working. Just go over to evil@evil-comic.com, hit the email button. Email it to me directly, and I'll make sure that I give it a look and take care of it.
Is it really the link? The submit button's not working?
No, it goes to a broken file.
Yeah, we really took a beating because we just did not buy enough web hosting for the amount of attention and traffic the site got at first, and so rather than just sign up for more BS $9.99 a month temporary hosting, we actually have someone willing to host us, and it's been taking longer for us to set it up, I guess, we realized, because Chris has been in charge of it and he's been moving and stuff, so he's had a bajillion things to do. But in like a week or two, we're going to be all set up at our new host, and the submit button will work. So.
And in the meantime, too, and probably by all means, send it to Brad at his email address. But both for the podcast and probably for webcomics.com, you can always contact all four of us at www@halfpixel.com. Because yep. I noticed that we also don't have a link for questions for the podcast. So all those can be www.halfpixel.com.
Absolutely.
That will all be fixed shortly.
And all, yep. A well-oiled machine, thus is webcomics.
Yes.
And that, I think, gents, about wraps it up. We answered, what was it, 6 questions this week, which is good.
Yeah. One thing we have no problem wandering aimlessly in artistically is the podcast. We could sketch the way we podcasted, we'd be doing well.
I have no problem wandering without a goal in mind through the
Yeah, it's really funny because after that podcast, usually it's I'm doing it at home, and after the podcast, I'll walk back to the living room, and the Angie will say, "Good podcast," and my answer is always the same. I always go, "Huh." You know, good, bad, it's done. What I mean, they seem to like it. Wow, these are jokes, guys.
Well, know, no, I don't know whether you can hear it, but I'm hearing a lot of static on the line.
Yeah, me too. Why don't we wrap it up for the night, and we will call it a day.
All right, guys. We'll see you
Webcomics
this weekend.
Weekly.
We're out.
See you at New England Webcomics.
All
right. Stopping recording.
All right, so now that we're